I'm Brad Locke, and you are listening to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Welcome into crossover season, everybody. It's everything happening all at once, like that show or movie.
The movie, yeah.
I haven't seen it. I just know the name.
It's very good. Everything, everywhere, all at once.
That's what it feels like right now for us.
Yep.
Yeah, because we just finished soccer. By the way, I'm back from New Orleans, in case anybody missed me last week, because we didn't have a podcast. Yes, I had a good time. What happens in NOLA stays in NOLA. So we're back to talk high school sports. I know it was a terrible time for me to go on a vacation, but, you know, I don't schedule Mardi Gras. Okay, I have no control over that, and it's an annual thing now, so we went down and left James and Brendan in the lurch to cover basketball and soccer postseason stuff. They handled themselves just fine, I think. Don't know if that means they don't need me anymore. But, okay, so, yeah, we got the soccer wound up last weekend down in the Jackson area. We had one team win it all. Saltillo's girls won the 6A title, beating George County 3-0 was the final. You were at that match, James.
Yep.
They won the 5A title last year, first time to win a state championship, move up to 6A, win 6A. And get contributions from everyone. I think their three best goal scorers each scored a goal, didn't they?
Yep. Ham got one, Riley Dickens got one, and O.J. Miller got one. And, you know, it was just a really complete effort. George County's defense was pretty stingy, and they didn't give much over the middle, but eventually Saltillo just wore them down and was able to put it away.
I feel like Caroline Hamm plays about 12 different sports. She does everything.
Oh, yeah. And on the field, she stood out because every time she had the ball, she was either getting past somebody or making a move or making a great pass. She was just an excellent contributor.
Yeah. And she's a senior, I believe. Yeah. Okay, so congrats to Saltillo's girls. We had some other teams get down there and come up just short. Lafayette's boys and girls both advancing to the 5A finals. Then we had New Albany's boys in the 4A. I believe that was their first trip to the state championship match. And then Tupelo Christian girls also went in Class 1, which encompasses Classes 1A through 3A. They lost to St. Patrick, which is just a really good team. I mean, so that puts a bow on the soccer season. Basketball playoffs have begun, and we've got the quarterfinals coming up this week. We've got a few games actually being played today down at Mississippi Valley State on this Wednesday as we're recording. Got a bunch of games Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, all at neutral locations like ICC is hosting some games, Northeast Mississippi Community College also hosting, and a lot of community colleges and small colleges around the state, and a few high schools are hosting the quarterfinal round. And down at Mississippi Valley later this week, we're going to get a rematch of Tupelo and Starkville's girls. They split their first two meetings. Starkville beat them in the regular season. Tupelo beat them in the region tournament, I think it was. And so this will be a fun, as it usually is when these teams meet up, but it should be a fun matchup. I just saw Tupelo's girls the other night. They took Oxford to the woodshed, metaphorically speaking. And Sanila Smith, man, she had a really good game. She's been more of a defensive specialist for them. But this season, I think you've seen it too, James. She's kind of stepped up into a bigger offensive role as well.
Yeah, I saw it in their regular season finale against Oxford. She really showed out. She either passed 20 or at the very least got close to it. Either way, yeah. She was part of a big surge late in the game that helped them to kind of run away with it and put it out of reach. But she's been really big down the stretch.
Yeah, and they've got other players like Nadia Norfleet, who's really good on both ends of the floor. And remember, I think she had 12 points, 5 steals in that win over Oxford. And so they're playing their best ball right now going into this game against Starkville, and certainly they have the confidence of having beaten Starkville last time they faced them not too long ago. So that one will be, at Mississippi Valley State. It's a bit of a drive if you're going. And watch out for the parking. It can get tricky. I got boxed in last year somehow. Yeah, Friday at 4 o'clock, Starkville, Tupelo. Starkville boys play that night at 7 against Germantown. Baldwin and H.W. Byers boys. That's a game I'm looking forward to there in 1A. That's going to be on Thursday at ICC. I'm also covering the Baldwin Blue Mountain girls game at 4. This will be the nightcap, the 8:30 game. Byers and Baldwin boys. I saw Baldwin beat West Union in the second round back on Saturday, 61-57. Dylan Johnson had a big game, 23 points. Nathan Shaw, the big post player, had 16 points, 10 boards. And they beat a really good West Union team. I mean, that's a bit of an upset. We had West Union ranked 5th, I think, and Baldwin not ranked at all. But pretty much saw the kind of game I was expecting to see. So now they get to take on HW Byers. They've got Jabari Wright, who has been a scoring machine this year for Byers. So looking forward to that one. Again, that's at ICC on Thursday. And how about New Albany, James? Had a story on them. You know, toward the end of the season, they looked like they were kind of dead in the water. They've had some personnel losses. They just couldn't, you know, they're in a funk, basically. And the next thing you know, get a big win over South Pontotoc and run through the region tournament, and now they're back into the quarterfinals in 4A, where they will face Choctaw Central on Saturday at Northeast. So apparently the three-pointers have been falling for them.
It's been big, especially from Braden Shettles and D. Johnson over the seven-game span where they've won 6 of those. Mm-hmm. Braden's had about – they've each had about 2 three-pointers a game, and it's really been able to spread things out. And, you know, as I said, I spoke to Scotty Shettles for an update that you can find on DJournal.com, and he put it simply in that when those two are shooting well, the team's winning.
Yeah. And, you know, that's a big part of it. And, again, I mentioned this earlier about Tupelo's girls playing their best ball at the right time. So are New Albany's boys. I haven't seen Choctaw Central's boys this year, but I saw them last year and was pretty impressed. And they got some really good players. So that's going to be a tough matchup, but it should be a good one there for New Albany. So those are just some of the quarterfinal games coming up. Everybody goes down to Jackson next week for the semifinals and finals starting on Monday. So can't wait for that. Let's do some updates from the diamond. It is inexplicably baseball and softball season. It always seems to be way too early to be doing this. But it's here, James. Most teams have already gotten started. Kossuth, we had Brendan out at Morville last night. Kossuth put it on Morville, 12-1. A little surprised at that. Goes to show you how accurate my preseason rankings are. Because I had Morville ahead of Kossuth. But it's early in the season. You're going to get some, you know, you only know so much about these teams before they actually get out there and have to do it. Then you had a really good game last night, James, Tuesday night, Tupelo against South Panola, and the Wave walked it off.
Yeah, this was a one-run game last year, so I had a feeling that it might be close this year. I don't think I would have expected it to go to extras, let alone 10 innings.
Oh, yeah, 10 innings. Yeah, you got a long night.
I did, but it was really resilient win by Tupelo, and I talking with Justin Reed afterwards, and although there were a couple of things that they would have liked to clean up, especially on defense from what he said, the fact that they were able to still show that kind of resilience and compete the entire way, he said, shows a lot about the team. And they're going to be hitting the road for the first time this weekend and for a couple of games afterwards. So
yeah,
it's going to be interesting to see how they build off of this heading into those.
Yeah, Brody Wilson was the big hero in the 10th inning, had the walk-off bloop single. I want to say that's 3, so they're 3-0 now. I want to say they had a walk-off win a few days ago too, didn't they?
Saltillo?
Yeah, I think so. But
I don't know.
So yeah, they're dipping their foot deep into the drama early in the season, but that's a good win because South Panola usually has a really solid team. So yeah, Tupelo baseball off to a nice start. I got out to some softball, really epic pitching matchup between AK Willingham of Saltillo and Layla Owens of Itawamba AHS. AK, of course, the reigning Daily Journal Player of the Year, took Saltillo to the 5A finals last season. Layla is a young pitcher, but had a really good season a year ago and pitched really well. I mean, she wasn't what I would call dominant, but neither was Willingham, because once she had to go through the order a second time, they started making contact, strung together some hits, got a little help from an error, and they end up winning 4-2. You know, the big key, as much as being able to get some hits against Willingham, was Owens able to escape some trouble. She stranded, I think, 6 runners, got a couple of double plays behind her. And so she was, when people got on base, she was usually able to escape. In fact, the only run she gave up was a two-run bloop single to A.K. Willingham. and then A.K., she gave up 6 hits, struck out 3, and walked none. And that's a big number because she's a strikeout pitcher. And to only strike out three times against her means obviously you're getting a lot of contact with the ball, and that's a key if you have any kind of chance against Willingham. It's not often she's going to give up four runs in a game. Granted, her defense didn't always help her out there, but Itawamba had some really solid, you know, well hit balls, and they had a couple of infield singles that helped. So they were able to piece it together and get the 4-2 win. That's number 5 Itawamba over number 1 Saltillo. Again, my rankings, they mean nothing, James. They mean nothing. Okay, let's close it out with athletes of the week. The female athlete of the week nominees this week are Reese Moore of Tisch County, Rain Noggle, hope I said that right, of North Pontotoc, and Ava Kate Smith of Boonville. Male athlete of the week nominees, Britton Fryer of Pine Grove, Dallas Pounds of New Site, and Nathan Shaw of Baldwin. And you can vote in our Twitter poll. Go to @DJournalSports and vote for male and female athletes of the week, and we'll announce the winners on Thursday. So also, I want to remind you all to check out Justify Your Existence with my buddy James here. He and Brendan every Monday talking Ole Miss and Mississippi State sports. You can find that wherever you find this or other podcast. And that's it. So we squeezed a lot into a little bit of time here. I thought it would take longer. Okay, so follow James on Twitter @JSMurphyMedia. I'm on there @BradLock. Be sure to check out our sponsor, Pizza Doctor, at Midtown Point in Tupelo. We got the Mexican today, which is, I forgot how good it was. I've gotten it forever. And so, yeah, you need to go check out Pizza Doctor in Tupelo. So for James and Podgator, I'm Brad. We'll see y'all not next week because I'll be in Jackson for basketball. See you in 2 weeks.